Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Some of the highlights from this week. Oh, my goodness. This week on Is Due Time with Pastor Steph. Ooh, the conversations were out of this world. We talked about some of the things that the church does not talk about, but we feel they should. And we started off with the topic of romance and intimacy and sex, and they're not too interested in talking about it. And as it was so eloquently put, the older church did not do that. The older church didn't talk about it. However, you know, as time is going on, you know, we are beginning to have these crucial and vital conversations. You know, why wouldn't we talk about romance and intimacy and, you know, sex when this is a major part of people's lives? You know, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, whether we want to or not, it is what it is. And I know some people don't like that phrase, but it is. It is. Well, one of the other topics, we feel that the church should talk about is how to interact with one another. Yeah. You know, how do we expect people to have, you know, productive relationships if we don't even know how to communicate with one another properly? If we can't communicate with friends and regular people out here, how will we be able to communicate with said mate? Yeah, we haven't had any practice. So Tuesday's conversation was great with the pastors and Shantees. Well, we talked with our ladies on Wednesday in regards to Vivian's socially conscious segment. And We talked about the NYPD sending out an SOS call to whomever so that they can get some help with the drug crisis. Yes, you know, they found that there were needles on the property of the school, and we have people using drugs on the school steps while school is in session. And one of, you know, our due time crew members said that they have even found needles. Children have even been pricked with used hypodermic needles, to be exact. So we know it's getting really bad out here if during school hours you have to chase people off the steps from using drugs. You know, we talked about the fact that there's no concern or respect for our young people when you are out here doing things like this. We talked about the homeless who's now suing the city and the mayor of New York because in getting them out of those suites, they have discarded their personal belongings. And we're talking about some vital documents that were what was included in that purge. Yeah, in getting rid of their belongings, the homeless have had some, you know, vital pieces of property discarded. Yeah. So we definitely, you know, don't want to see that happen. Definitely we don't want to see that happen. So that might get stopped when this all becomes something in the courthouse. Yeah, might be a turn of events for the homeless. You know, we also talked about what would happen if you put a whopping pile of money in the hands of a homeless person. You know, would they be of the individuals who are determined to get their lives together and, you know, get their apartment and live productive lives, you know, afterwards? Would that be, you know, them? Well, it's anybody's guess because, you know, a homeless person is not going to be mandated probably to do X, Y, and Z with their money. Why? Because it's their money. So how you give somebody a lawsuit winning and then you tell them what to do with their money? So that was a thought that was shared on Wednesday. Yeah. Wow. Therapeutic Thursday was quite therapeutic as we had the return of our pastor, Preston Simpson. And he came back with his topic, praying for my wife's desires. And woo, did he not blow us out the park all over again as he went through some new topics when, you know, he talked about the things that, you know, the wife's desires and a whole new set of items. You know, a wife, you know, her desire is to be protected, to feel safe. And, you know, he elaborated on that so well, so well. We talked about her friends, you know, his wife's desires, or a wife's desires to have godly friends, you know, find godly women. That's not an easy thing to do. We also talked about a wife's desires for not only good health for herself, but good health for her husband. And he talked about how, you know, now that they're down in Texas, how, you know, the shopping is even different, where they get their eggs from, where they get their chicken from, and, you know, how she is always, or, you know, a wife is always concerned about her husband and her children's and her health and what she does. What she does to ensure all of that. And I tell you, he was such a breath of fresh air this week. And for him to actually come back yesterday and start off by saying that ever since Monday, he saw his marriage improve. Oh, my goodness gracious. He said they've gotten a fresh start. Now, how blessed would you be to come on a broadcast with the intention of blessing others and find that there is a major blessing in your own backyard? Wow. I mean, you can't ask for a whole lot more when God blessed your marriage because you were a blessing to his people. Yes, we got to get them on for a relationship clinic. I can't wait. So those were just some of the things that we discussed here on His Due Time with Pastor Steph this week. That's all in 1 week. And this has been some powerhouse week. Oh, my goodness gracious. This has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Well, today is Freestyle Friday. Yes. And we get to do whatever it is we want to do today. It's the end of the week. And we can, you know, step outside the lines if we want to. Because there are no lines. Ooh, I like that. I like that. That do anything you want to do concept. Well, I don't know what we're going to do other than this standard thing. We talk to the men on Fridays. So we're looking forward to having our men on with us. I got some news to talk about. I got some things to talk about. So I'm looking forward to talking to you all. All right? So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Sarcoidosis is exhausting.
Painful. Scary. Sarcoidosis is life-changing.
But sarcoidosis doesn't have to be life-defining.
Sarcoidosis is an unpredictable, rare disease that can affect any organ of the body. But I control sarcoidosis, not the other way around. Learn about sarcoidosis at lung.org/sarcoidosis.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is, yes, Freestyle Friday. Woo! By the grace of God, we've made it. It has been phenomenal here on It's Due Time this week. But I got to tell you, Pastor Steph is ready for a weekend. But thank God that he has been so gracious to us. He has brought us safely through another week in our right frame of mind. This is the place to be from 7 to 9 a.m. You just don't want to miss this broadcast. This week has been so phenomenal. It really has. The conversations have been crazy strong. Yeah. That's my thing this morning. And I am so grateful to God that I'm a part of this ministry. Yay, amen. I'm not even talking about being over it. I'm just saying being a part, because I am so blessed by everyone who God sends my way. Yeah, I'm learning one thing or another. That's for sure. So, I got some trivia stuff that I'm going to start with today. I got a couple of trivia items, and we're going to start with the one that's not so great. You know, we've been talking about marriage and love and care and concern and prayer and all of that kind of stuff within a marriage. And I stumbled on a list last night of couples who, I guess the fans, they say, the fans say was heartbreaking to see them divorce. Yeah, so let's see who's on this list. I only saw the first couple. I didn't see anyone after that, so I don't even know if we really care about these people, but maybe we do. So let's see who's on this list this morning. If you have a Hollywood couple that you were like, oh man, they divorced, send them over to me. I really like to know if you had that experience and that thought. All right, let's have some fun this morning. We got about to get up out of here for the week, so I said let's talk about that thing. All right, we're going to talk trivia this morning. Well, the first people on this list, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Back in 2016, they announced their divorce. Remember, they got together over the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I remember that very, very clearly. And irreconcilable differences is what was on the table when they went for a divorce. Now, one of the things that I was kind of sad to hear about their divorce, because I think they were a couple who did a lot of adopting. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so you adopted these kids, you know, in love, while you were in love, and then the kids had to see, you know, this failed marriage. I mean, I'm sure they'll survive. That wasn't the point. But the point was, you know, you don't want to bring children into a relationship and now the relationship is no more. All right. Well, they have here a Sophia Turner and a Joe Jonas. I don't even know who these people are. maybe you know. All right. Cardi B and Offset. Their split in July of 2024 after 6 years of marriage. They said that the decision was difficult but necessary. It was a long time coming, and they finally did it. Well, another set where there were children involved, and I remember, I believe it was after they announced that they were going to go their separate ways, that she found out that she was going to have a baby, or at least she announced that she was going to have a baby. All right, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Well, they're going all the way back to 2001 after 11 years of marriage. I remember this being a big thing in the news. And they finally separated permanently. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston back in 2005. Now, this one, I didn't know a whole lot. I did know that they were married. And I remember saying, aw, for this one. They looked kind of cute together. But, of course, we know that we're not hoping that people look good based on, you know, looks, right? We don't want people to stay together because they look good. But, yeah, they were a part of that listing of people going, oh, really? Yeah. So they had been married for 5 years. And they say that this couple was considered a power, a Hollywood power duo. Another set went for Irreconcilable Differences. And they say that Brad Pitt ended up in this situation. Well, I got the other couple wrong. It was Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie who got together over Mr. and Mrs. Smith, because that was part of their Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt issue. So that's one of the reasons why they ended up getting a divorce. Bruce Willis and Demi Moore. Now, this set here, I went, oh, they really, you know, they look so cute together. But again, you know, listen, can't judge a book by its cover. 13 years of marriage, they divorced back in the year of 2000. You know, another couple with children. But one of the things about this particular couple, and I know, you know, those of you who know the story, they have been very active in raising their children together. Yes, there's been stories of them going on vacations together and taking their partners. Yes, whoever they were dating or whatever. I know Demi Moore, didn't she get married to Ashton Kutcher? She was with him for quite some time, because I remember the talk of her being his senior. And, yeah, he was on that. He was on some of them trips, too. Yeah, they have been real serious about, you know, letting people understand, hey, we have to raise these kids. It doesn't matter whether we're together or not. So they never slandered one another in public. And they were ones who really, really made you appreciate. You know, sometimes people just can't be together, but you don't have to be enemies. You don't have to be enemies, but they were good friends. Now you got Peter Andre and Katie Price. I don't know who these people are, so I'm going to pass them. Oh, here we go. Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore. When they divorced in 2013, they were together for 8 years. So Demi Moore's had a very active married life. Yeah, that's a long time. You 13 years with one person, 8 years with another person. Yeah, that's a long time. Well, they said that they got divorced because there was some allegations of infidelity. So, who knows? Guy Ritchie and Madonna. I remember this marriage. I remember when she got married to Guy Ritchie. Well, they divorced in 2008 after 8 years of marriage. I wasn't the awe individual. I wasn't a vet group. I don't know. They have children, and they say they're another set who was able to work well together as a separated duo when it came to the children. And I applaud people, you know, who just admit we can't be together, but they are separate, you know, and together. Together and raising the kids, and separate in their own personal lives. But you get the job done. Amen. Amen. Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow. Now, I know who Gwyneth Paltrow is, but I don't know who this Chris Martin is. I don't know. Y'all couldn't think of anybody who you said all about? I was trying to think as I was looking at this list of a couple who I was like, oh, man. I think for me, it's Will and Jada. Yeah. I understand that they, you know, had some problems in their marriage, but I would have really liked to see them work out. As a young couple, as a couple who came from, like, grassroots and didn't have anything, yeah, I would have liked to see them work out. So they were definitely an awe couple. I can't think of any other awe couples right now. If someone comes to mind, I will definitely call it out. But there have been so many marriages in Hollywood. Every time you turn around, somebody getting married, and then somebody getting divorced. Well, maybe if they heard Pastor Simpson, you know, talk about the desires of your wife, maybe some of these marriages could have been saved. Well, that's a thought. Well, I told you I had another trivia for you this morning. Well, we are so sad, and we will say, oh, to hear that Quincy Jones passed away at the age of 91. Boy, Quincy had his hands in so much. A powerhouse, really someone who has really done some things in the music world. And I came across a list where they're talking about these top songs that will add to his legacy. And it's funny because the other day I was looking at a news article about Quincy Jones, and they listed like a couple of songs that he was responsible for. And I was like, what? So I came across another list last night that talked about the top songs that really lend to his legacy. So, they say back in 1963, Ella Fitzgerald and Count Basie's orchestra, Honeysuckle Rose. I don't know how many people remember that song, but yeah. Quincy was behind that great piece. He set up the arrangements for that Honeysuckle Rose. And they are saying that that was a big hit for her and him. Well, also back in 1963, It's My Party and I Cry If I Want To. Quincy was behind that one. Yeah. You would cry too if it happened to you. Quincy Jones. Yo. She was a teenage pop star, this Leslie Gore. And he wrote that hit. He is behind that hit. He is the great producer. 1964, Fly Me to the Moon. In other words, yes, Quincy Jones behind that baby. Yes, Frank Sinatra. Man, he's like an R. Kelly. Hands in everything, or I should say R. Kelly is like a Frankie. You hear me, Frankie? Like a Quincy. Got his hands in everything. 1967. You ready for this one? In the Heat of the Night. Yes, In the Heat of the Night by Ray Charles. Yeah, well, they were very good friends, by the way. Yes, Quincy Jones and Ray Charles. Yeah, that was his baby, Quincy Jones. 1979. Don't stop till you get enough. Keep on. With the force, don't stop. Yes, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, Michael Jackson. Well, that was just the beginning of he and Quincy Jones's relationship, as anybody would know that Quincy Jones had a lot to do with Michael's great work. Yes, 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 that Off the Wall, that Thriller, yeah. Just in case you didn't remember, Quincy Jones was behind those great songs. And Bad, yep, 1997's Bad. And The Wiz. Yes, yes, yes. He was behind the soundtrack of The Wiz. Well, they're signing in 1981, Just Once. Remember, that was the breakout song for, what's my boy's name? I love James Ingram. Yes, yes, yes. Quincy Jones was behind that baby right there. I remember that song very clearly. Well, back in the 80s, all you ever did was listen to music. You know, I listened to some of the songs that, well, 80s was my music. That was my year, my decade of music. And I have to tell you, when the songs play, I know every single word. And sometimes I'm like, Stephanie, how did you know? How do you know every word? Well, that's all we did, was listen to music. Yeah. So Quincy Jones, Just Once. 1982, Billie Jean is not my lover. Billie Jean. They're citing as one of the great hits from Thriller. And, no. Yeah, Billie Jean's from Thriller album. Yes, 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 yes. So, Now, remember, they're saying Thriller sold 20 million copies in 1983 alone. Alone. That's in that year alone. All right. In 1982, Love Is In Control. I'm not familiar with this song, but that was a big Donna Summer hit. Man, his work is all over the place. He has his fingers in everything. In 1985, how could we ever forget We Are the World? Yes, remember that was a Quincy thing where we used to look at the videos? Yeah, remember that? And he was in the background waving his hand and directing the band. And yes, that was his baby, We Are the World. Yes, that was one masterpiece right there. Oh, let's see what else they got on here. Quincy Jones, Ray Charles, and Chaka Khan, I'll Be Good to You, in 1989. And, you know, this is, remember now, these are the top. These are not even his only. Not his only. The top songs. Quincy Jones was responsible for. Yeah. So we are so appreciative of his musical legacy. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody just sent me. Who can remember? Strawberry Letter 23 by Brothers Johnson. Woo! 1977, a Quincy Jones hit. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, another song just came to my mind when, thank you for that submission, when I saw that name, Stomp. Stomp. Wasn't that a Brother Johnson's song too? I think that was a Brother Johnson song. He was behind that one, I believe. Yes. Yes. And I'm going to also remind you that not only did he launch James Ingram's career, but he also launched Tamia. Yes, Tamia was married to Grant Hill. There's a Stranger in My House and all those good songs. Yes, he launched her career back in the back in the 90s with his Q's Juke joint. And I will still say that was one underrated album, Q's Juke joint. It was another medley of, what do you call it, artists. Yes, it featured Queen Latifah. It featured Brandy, Tamia, Phil Collins. Yeah, I mean, if you ever get some time, go listen to that CD. You can pull it up, I'm sure, on Apple Music, on Amazon. That was one smoking album. A real chill out. Barry White, what's his name, El DeBarge on that CD. A couple of rappers were on that CD as well. He really pulled it together on that CD there. And I don't believe it ever got the notoriety that it should have gotten. Somebody else. Yep, a Stomp. I'm right. Stomp by the Brothers Johnson. That was another James Ingram baby. Secret Garden. Remember that song? Secret Garden. That was a hit for a long time. And even now, when they play it, you know, on like on streaming, it's like, whoa, remember that? That was a Quincy Jones production. Yeah, so he's really had his hands in so much. He's done so much in the 91 years he was here, and so sad to see him go. But, man, he lived a productive life. He lived a productive life, and we will be singing his songs forever. Yeah. So what else are we talking about in celebrity news this morning? Let's see what comes up. Well, let me see. Do I want to talk about that in celebrity news? Well, I will talk about this because this is an update. This is an update. But where is it? Where is it? Oh, man. I'll have to tell it to you. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Well, here's an update to one of the stories that we did regarding the Diddy thing. And I'm going to talk to our guys about that really quickly. Now, remember, they had this list of people who were accusing Diddy of raping them and sexually assaulting them and so forth and so on. Well, they didn't want to give up their names. Remember, we talked about whether it would be fair or not if they were allowed to file these lawsuits under anonymity. Well, our judge, who is a female, by the way, I'm trying to find her name here. My iPad is freezing up on me, so things are not moving as quickly as I'd like. Judge Mary Kay, and I cannot pronounce her last name, but she is the judge on one of these cases. And she has said, oh, no, you won't. You will reveal your name, young lady. Yes, she said that pretty much it's not fair. We talked about this. It's not fair that this individual would be accused of raping you and you not reveal who you are. That in going with the norm, going with the normal procedure of the way things are done, you cannot remain anonymous where he does not get an opportunity to face his accuser. He has every right to face his accuser. So, good for her. Good for her. And I'm glad it's a female judge. So no one can say that he was siding with Diddy, but no. She says that you were raped, and I'm sorry, either by November 13th, you reveal your name or your case will be dismissed. Yes. Yes and yes. Speaking of cases, we have our Mayor Adams, who has been given a date for trial for his accusations, the things that he was accused of. Remember, he was accused of doing some stuff with the Turkish people, making promises and things like this. And his case is set to begin in April of 2025. Now, there's a glitch with that because they're citing that, hey, we need to keep this down to a minimum, and there's no way you could push this out further because he is, remember, this is his year. That would be his year for the mayoral election. So he surely does not want his name all up in some criminal charges because unlike Mr. Trump, you won't get the same benefits, my brother. Oh, they will indict you and you won't be behind bars. You will not be walking around running for president as the former, now current president is actually doing. So his peoples are trying to get his case stretched out. But just like, nah, that ain't happening. That is not happening. So don't even try it. All right, I'm going to need a couple of seconds here as my source of information is frozen. So now I've got to reach out to another source. Oh, okay, so off celebrity news, I got some good news for you before we start talking to our due time men. Those who are getting Social Security, I don't know if you've heard by now, but we are facing a 2.5% increase. Yes, anyone who is receiving Social Security benefits, they will be receiving a 2.5% increase. And they're saying for some people, that can be as much as $50. Now, it may not sound like a lot, but it is a lot. They are going with the cost of living, and thank God that that was in effect before President Trump got in office, because we don't know what we should be expecting when he sits down. So whether you get retirement, whether you get SSI, you will be included in that increase. Now, for those of us who fly, there's another piece of news that I would deem good news. The airlines are mandated now to give automatic refunds for canceled flights. You know, when they cancel your flight, they always want to do this stupid credit thing. And my thing is, how are you going to take my money, cancel my flight, and then you're going to dictate that you give me credit? Well, the powers that be have said no more, no more, and no more. Going forward, if you have not just a canceled flight, but if you have a significantly delayed flight, that they must give you a refund within 7 days. If you have paid via credit card, and if you've paid by another method, then they have 20 days. So 30 or 20 days, whichever one is applicable to you, you will get your refund. according to the Transportation Department. Not only that, if they lose your luggage, yeah, if they can't find your luggage, because here it is, they have this listing here. So you've got canceled or significantly changed flights, whether you rebook or not on an alternative flight, yeah, you can get your money back. Significantly delayed baggage return. So passengers who have filed that mishandled baggage report, well, if you don't have your luggage 12 hours from a domestic flight or 15 to 30 hours of an international flight, you are to get your money back if you paid for like a baggage check. Now, also, they're including Wi-Fi, seat selection, or in-flight entertainment. So they are infamous for this stuff. As a person who flies, they are infamous. If you pay for Wi-Fi or if you have a seat selection that you pay for, well, I want to know where they were a couple of years ago, because twice I flew and I paid to have my seat selection, and then they called me up to the counter to tell me that they could not honor that. And when I looked at my emails, they had sent me emails apologizing. And I was like, well, where my money at? I don't want to get no apology. Apologize with my money. And I had to fight to get my money back. And they always offer you credit for all these things. Well, they say the Transportation Department is saying absolutely not, no longer. Now, I know that this is true, because when I had a flight on, was it Monday? It was delayed. It was delayed twice. And it wasn't a real significant delay, in my opinion. But they, sure enough, they put, after the second delay, they put, you have the ability, you can ask for a refund. Yes, they did have that there. And I was like, well, I ain't asking for no refund. It wasn't that bad for me. But and that was with Southwest. And so it's true. It's true. I don't know Southwest's procedure prior to this, but I do know as of Monday, that was October 26th, was it? No. 28th, that they were doing that I was one. Coming back on the 1st, it was the same thing. It was a slight delay, and they did have on the bottom, if you'd like, press this link to get a refund. Now, my thing is, okay, so if I'm getting a refund, I guess I'm booking with somebody else. So that wasn't a, you know, again, it was a even smaller delay from a few days earlier when I was flying. So it wasn't a huge deal for me. As a matter of fact, it ended up pretty much leaving on time. So I could have asked for a refund and then not had a flight. And then the flight ended up leaving like 2 minutes later. Yeah, it was an 8:15 flight, and we ended up leaving at 8:17. So, but that was after it was predicted. We were notified that the flight was delayed. When I got to the airport, that was what was on the board, that it was delayed, and they did offer the money back. So for those of you who fly, they must give you a refund if you request one for anything significant in delay, your baggage, your luggage, if you've paid for your luggage and it's delayed. What did they say? Past 15, wait, let me read it right. 12 hours for domestic, 15 or 30 hours for international, or if your Wi-Fi, you pay for that and you don't get it, your seat selection, they don't honor that. all your in-flight entertainment, you know, you pay for like movies or whatever. So that's some of our news this morning. So let me talk to my Due Time crew and see what they've got to talk about this morning, what they got to say. Good morning, Brother Ainsley. Uh-oh. Did I lose Brother Ainsley? Ainsley? Are you there?
Yeah. I'm here.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm coming along. Coming along. I'm here. I'm here.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. We talked about some things here. Well, we talked about the fact that the judge on the Diddy case, where the young lady wanted to remain anonymous, the judge has said no go, no go, no go. If you want to pursue this case, you are going to have this lawsuit. You're going to have to definitely put your name up out there. So she has till November 13th to open up her mouth and say who she is, or the case will be dismissed. And we talked about this. What do you think about that?
I think it's that's what it should be. I think it's what it should be. You know, I think the only reason why, a couple of reasons come to reason why she made somebody want to keep their name out of it. You know, they don't want the attention because that it will bring, everybody's going to try to search her out. And, you know, the media, it could be some like hound dogs. So you want to go into your history, like, was you at this party? What other freaky things have you been involved with and stuff like that? Or it could be somebody who is, you know, maybe have a higher profile, and they really don't want their name. They thought maybe they could pursue this without their name being caught into it, you know, as well. So, but, you know, yeah, you got to know who you fight, you know, who on Diddy side. You got to know who your accuser are, you know. You have to. You got to know, man.
I agree. I didn't think about the aspect of that could be someone, you know, who's already in the limelight, who wants to stay out of the limelight. I didn't think about that. It's a good point. It's a good point, Brother Ainsley. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Social Security. The recipients of Social Security will be getting a cost of living increase, 2.5% in 2025. Do you think that's enough? They're calling this a cost of living increase. Now, some people can get as much as $50 for the year. Do you think that's enough?
No, but you got to be grateful. Those who get it, you got to be grateful for whatever you can get. You know, so it's better than 0% or like the raises I used to get back in the day when I was working. Oh, you got a raise. How much? Like 0.3. Like, you know, minus taxes. And you got to be grateful for that.
Oh,
20 cents,
goodness.
Man. Like, you know, so for me coming from that, man, you getting 2.5%. Yo, you saying something. No, but it seemed like it's never enough. But, you know, if it's really tied into the economy, keep everybody on point, which it really never really is, though. It don't seem like it, though, because it seemed like, you know, you get more this way, but something else is going up. So I don't know. Does it really balance out? So, but, yeah, it's not. I don't think it's really enough, but be grateful for whatever you can get. They can get, definitely.
I have to agree with
you. Because it's all people get, though.
Right. I definitely agree with you. You know, being a little candid, I remember there were a couple of years where I didn't get anything. They did have a cost of living increase, and I guess my little bracket, they were like, you get nothing. yeah, other people got who were receiving lower benefits. And I was like, well, where am I at? I got to deal with the cost of living, but some of us didn't get. Some of us didn't get. So I agree with you. You know, as a payroll administrator, there were many a day people were told they were getting an increase, and they would call me. And when I would put it in, I'm like, oh, my gosh. This ain't nothing. They're going to be wondering. And sure enough, Ainsley, they would be calling me, and they were like, Steph, did, you know, they said that this paycheck, I get an increase. Did I get it? It was a court. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
I know how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I definitely
I've been there too many
agree.
Times with that, man. Yeah.
Yes, and I think we all have at one point or another trying to figure out, did I really get this increase that was promised? So, you know, in this case, you know, something is better than nothing. You could be on that zero side of the fence. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're getting, you know, a couple dollars, then just say thank God. Just say thank God. We're talking about the airlines. We're talking about the airlines, Brother Ainsley. And they have to issue a refund, not this credit garbage, that and they tie your money up. I'm so glad the Department of Transportation, you know, they have really spoken
mm-hmm.
up. And any United States airline carrier must abide by this rule. Have you been caught in this credit business, this credit loop?
Not quite like that. I have, like, if I cancel the flight, now if I cancel it, yeah, now I got a credit. Even though I cancel
mm-hmm.
it way in advance, I got a credit. I'm like, I'm telling you, I ain't going to be there. So can I just, you know, you got the seat available. Somebody else, you know, come on, get my money back. But, you
right.
know, but when they get canceled the flight, no. That's a good thing, though. Because, no, I guess I come to think about it, yes, I did. A couple times, man, with that cheap, with that Frontier. That's one. That's,
okay.
I stopped flying them. That,
okay.
Those, they are the they got to be one of the worst, man, at that, too. And, yeah, so that's a good thing. That's what it should have been. You would think that certain kind of common sense would prevail, but no. So, yeah, I think it's great, and I think, you know, I don't know what it is. It say if you're being delayed. Now, that's another issue with the whole delays and stuff like that. You know, how long has a delay got to happen before I see something? You know, I can understand
it's
weather-related.
No, not just weather-related. That's what I was saying to you when I was giving a report. When I was flying out, the flight was supposed to leave at 7. We were supposed to leave at 7:35, I think, and they said that we weren't leaving until 8-something. 7:50. We were supposed to leave around 7:50, but we were not going to leave until 8:30. And at that point, they were offering me a refund. They was like, press this link if you want to get a refund. So it doesn't necessarily have to be for weather. We didn't know. They didn't say why. It just said delayed. Well, again, when I got
mm-hmm.
there, they said that it was delayed. And, you know, if you're supposed to take off at 7:50, but then the change of time is at 8:30, that's not bad. However, it is an inconvenience. I just didn't have a place that I had to be for pressing, you know, at a pressing time. But for those that do, that's what they're honoring. So it doesn't have to be just some big significant time. It doesn't have to be because of weather, anything.
Oh, that's great, man, because that happens all the time.
Yes.
That happens all the time.
Yes.
I got one crazy experience with the airline. It wasn't JetBlue. It was something related to JetBlue. Say I had it was supposed to be like a 4 o'clock flight. all right, you know, I try to get to the airport, you know, about 2 hours beforehand, like a little extra. That afternoon of, I get a notification, the flight ain't leaving to at 4, it's leaving early, at like 3.
What?
A whole hour early. I'm like, yo, a whole hour early. Now, I've tend to fly them often. They will leave out a little bit early. Like, if everybody's there, if the flight's supposed to be at 4, if they get everybody on, like, by 3:45, they out, right? So
okay.
I've known them to leave early like that. But I got a notification a whole hour early. Okay, so I'm like, okay, I got to be there at 3. I got there at 1. I get there. When I finally get there, because I don't really check my email like that. I take the text. So when I get to the airport now, the flight is now, it's not leaving at 3. It's not leaving at 4. It's leaving at 6 p.m.
Wow.
Now, I'm up here now. I got to sit up here for 5 hours.
Wow.
You know what I could do for 5 hours, man?
Wow.
Yeah, so every one case I was like, yo, this ain't worth it, man. I would love to, but at that moment to give me my money back, I'd be like, no, that's all right. I'll go back home. Because after a while, you get tired of waiting around in the airport, you know, particularly if you know, we fly often. Ain't nothing amusing. It's the same old stuff, you know.
Right.
And, you know, because everything's expensive, you know,
right.
$5
right.
for a hot dog. $4 for, if you drink, so, you know, bottle of water, stuff like that, you know. Mm-mm.
Wow. That's crazy. You know, I want to start doing a, like a review, you know, how we do My Two Cents. I wanted to start doing a review on different things and places to go, and businesses. I wanted to start doing things like that because I've run into some issue, and then on the other side, I've had some good things that I wanted to say about some businesses, and I definitely wanted to put that out there. So maybe, you know, we can get that going. I think people would appreciate hearing, you know, the experiences, you know, those who come, travel a lot and things like that. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it because it's been something that I've been considering doing because I think that it to inform people of these things is really, really important. So here we are with this morning with this transportation information. So. All right, my brother Ainsley, let's talk to our brother KL and see what he's got to say about these things. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you?
Doing all right, bro. Doing all right.
Doing well.
All righty. We're talking about Social Security benefits. Now, you may not be a recipient, but as a, you know, God spare your life, you will get one day. You know, they are getting a 2.5% increase, and it's the Cost of Living Act that they are giving this cost, this increase under. Do you think 2.5% is, you know, decent?
I don't know. You guys, equivalent to $50 a year. I don't know if these folks who are making the decisions have gone and got groceries, you know, but, you know, a can of Spam now is $50. You know, that's a can of Spam. So I'm just trying to figure out, so I can spend an extra dime every time I go to the grocery store and put that on my, I mean, I'm not understanding, I mean, Even the tax is more than what you're giving me. So I don't know that is enough. I mean, I guess you guys say be grateful, but I'm trying to figure out what we're being grateful for.
Because at times you got nothing.
That is,
so you had this increase.
Nothing.
You're right. You're right. It is nothing. But think about the zero nothing and the $50 nothing.
Okay, so I'll take 10 cents as opposed to having zero. Okay, I mean, I don't see it. I don't see it. You know, a lot of times, you know, as you guys were talking about raises, you know, they so happy that they gave you a raise, but I don't see it. You know what I mean? I don't know. Uncle Sam see it better than me. I don't see it.
Absolutely. 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 And I have to be honest, we really don't disagree with you. We really don't disagree with you. However, on the flip side, for many years, you didn't get anything. They're saying that retirement recipients, there's 68 million people. And then you have the people who get SSI, there's 7.5 million of those individuals. Now, they have not added in the factor of the other, there's a third level of recipients in there and a fourth level of recipients in there. So you have the people who have Social Security disability, and you also have survivor's benefits, children who actually have parents who have passed away, and they get money as well. All these people will be getting some level of an increase. So, you know, if we weren't handing out all these billions of dollars to some other areas which shall remain nameless, maybe it could be a little more than the 2.5. But, you know, if you
We pay into retirements. You know, we pay into a lot.
Absolutely.
You know, you're talking about for people who has died off, and now, you know, we're going to get. Listen, I'm dead right now. Every time
you
I go to the grocery store, I'm dead.
Oh,
pay me
goodness.
Off now. How am I keep paying into my retirement, and then you going to tell me what I get? You know,
We're not getting our money. Don't forget that. We're not getting our money. We're getting our kids' money, and we're getting our parents' money. Remember, they're not current. So that's another thing. While I'm saying 2.5 is nothing, but based on we're getting our seniors' money, it's always a generation behind. For those of you, I don't know if you know that, Pastor Kale, but for those of you listeners who don't know, you are not getting your money. That's not your money sitting up in the bank somewhere. Unfortunately,
your
we're
actual
always,
money, yeah.
Right. You're getting the money that our mothers made, our fathers made.
So, okay, so educate me now. So that means my children will get my money?
Yes, yes.
I don't like them. I don't like them. Give me my money. I don't like them.
Yeah. So when you talk about, that's why I was reading you the numbers. And like I said, don't misunderstand me. I am by far saying, you know, whoop-de-doo, I'm getting 2.5%. But when you look at the economy for the right things, where they should be putting money, all, you know, Trump is now in office, and he has been raising hell for the longest time about all of these migrants, all of these people, y'all, to open up the borders. Look at how much money that they have put into these people. And yet again, as we have been saying for a million times over, we ourselves are not benefiting off of the money that we've worked for. They are benefiting off the money that we've worked for. So if you're talking about 68 million people, retirees, now they're living, the retirees now who are seniors, they are actually getting their parents' money. The money that their parents earned. And remember, they didn't have a big income like we did. We had a much better income than our seniors had. So you're talking about 68 million of those people, you're talking about the Social Security, the SSI people, the supplemental people. There's 7.5 million of them. And again, you're talking about those who have survivor benefits, for those who have parents who've passed away. Not only that, for those who are collecting Social Security disability, their children get 50% of what they're getting. So if you are getting Social Security benefits and it's $1,000, any and all of your dependents get $500 a month. So add all of that up. 2.5? Yeah. We're lucky ain't less than that.
You know what? You know what's scary about that? I mean, and that's a good educational point, especially for me. But what's scary about that is this next generation don't want to work.
That's so right. So what are they? That's
my grandchildren
right.
Ain't getting
that's
nothing.
That's right.
They're not getting
that's
nothing.
Right. That's right. And that's what they've been
saying.
And a lot of
them ain't paying into it.
Yes.
They're not paying into it. They're doing that little thing
that's
off
right.
the side. It's not paying into it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
That is a crazy thing, yeah.
Yes, and they've been saying that for the longest time. They're like, Gen Zs don't want to work, and they are independent workers. And like Ainsley said, they're not paying into Social Security. So what are they going to live off as well as their children?
Right.
Because some
right,
of
right,
us
right.
in this generation have come to the point, I don't want to work no more, and I'm too old to work, and I ain't working for nobody but myself. And, we right here, we the last set that's going to get anything really decent, because there's not going to be no more bank, especially now that Trump is in office. Oh, you can forget that. So you're right. You're right, Pastor Kale and Ainsley. This is a scary situation.
And tell me what's that? What was that thing we were paying into? I was wondering who was FICA. What was that?
I never met him. He ain't never called me.
You know, I don't know who the heck is FICA, man.
Well, you're finding out now who FICA is. Oh my goodness gracious! Yeah, so that's the deal with that. Now we're talking about traveling, and the Transportation Department has issued some new rules, and your refunds are going to be in the form of cash money. You know, you're going to get it back on your credit cards or however you paid it. It will go back to that and not give you credits, as they have been cheating us out of all these years. What's your thought, Pastor Kale?
I think that's a great thing, actually. I mean, listen, I've traveled immensely. And I've been cheated, and I've been, you know, in my former life, I had to cuss quite a few people out to get some money back, because I just don't understand that if you cancel my flight, you know, you gonna give me a credit? That's not something
right.
that I opted out for. You know what
right.
I mean? I can
right.
see if I cancel
right.
it, and we have to negotiate how I get my money back. But if you cancel it, no, I didn't say I didn't want the seat. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now I want my money back. You know, and because you cancel it, you might have put a bad taste in my mouth. I don't want to use that credit on your airline.
Right.
Cause
right.
I don't know if
right.
you cancel it again.
Exactly.
So
right.
You don't
right.
Need to go
right. 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 You've locked me in now. I ain't got no other choice but to use you.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now I gotta ride flight 50-50. I got a 50% chance of getting there and 50% chance of not getting there. No, I don't want to do all that. I don't want to do that.
Well, the money will be back in your account within 20 to 30 days based on how you paid. So there's some good news.
Even that's too long. Even that, you know, listen, this is how I feel about paying bills and stuff like that. You know, these bill collectors don't say, hey, you ain't got it right now, I'll give you 30 days. They want their money. Listen, when I want to go to New York or when I want to go to Detroit or wherever I want to go and I'm on that site, they want their money now. They don't give me 30 days, you know, after you get there. They want their money now. So I want my money now. You know, I shouldn't have to. You are a billion-dollar company. I should not have to wait $30 for something that you messed up with. Poor planning on your behalf does not constitute an emergency on mine.
I agree. I agree 100%.
I agree with that.
I agree 100%.
And you know,
like
it really don't
said,
take
I...
that long.
Right.
It don't never.
No. Right.
It don't take them that long. When you make a payment, you give them your credit card. Boom. That money's going
yep.
really fast, man.
That's right.
Ain't no
That's
delays
right.
in that.
No.
So,
no,
I mean,
not at all.
I mean, come on now. All that 20 days, 30 a month, man. Come on.
Listen, tell customer service, go sell a ticket. Go sell a plane ticket. And then send me my money. Because as soon as you sell a plane ticket, my
you
money's
the
right
money.
There in your account.
Right.
Give me my
right.
money.
You got the money. You got the money. I agree. I agree 100%. You know, speaking to what Brother Ainsley was saying, you have, you know, when you swipe your card, you can look right at your bank account. I know one of my bank accounts, one of the banks I use, immediately that money is out and is saying pending. You've already locked my money up. So you're right. It doesn't take them that long. To get your money, so it should not take that long to give you back your money. But knowing that I'm getting my money right now, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, Transportation Department. I'll take it. And, you know, when somebody else gets in the position and they say, you know what? No, 20 and 30 days is too long. It needs to be within 20 to 30 hours you get your money back. You know, so I'm with this right now, you know, considering that I've had, you know, credit and then they cheated me out of the credit because then I had to use it within a certain amount of time and all that kind of nonsense. So, you know, we're moving in the right direction. We got our Brother Al on the phone. Brother Al, good morning.
Good morning. I can't talk too long. I have reported to the plantation, so you got to hurry up because you going to get me in trouble.
All right. So you take your pick, Brother Al. Which one would you like to talk about in your spare minutes?
Yeah, no, I got time. I'm just messing with you. I didn't get to hear most of it because, you know, getting this stuff situated
right.
through this and craziness going on. But that's something for another show, but go ahead.
All right, so Social Security is giving a 2.5% increase, and the question is that enough? They're considering this is a cost of living increase. Do you feel that that's a decent amount?
2.5%? No, raise that up more. We need more money because things are constantly going up. What do they think they're going to do? Nah, raise that up some more.
All righty, Brother Al. And the airlines are now giving not credit but refunds for any delayed flights or change of flights if you want, any significantly delayed baggage return. So they've got 12 hours on domestic flights, and they've got 15 to 30 hours, for international flights, and any auxiliary services. So, you know, sometimes you'll pay for your seat selection, and then when you get there, they've done what they wanted to do, and you've paid for that seat selection, Wi-Fi, and any other entertainment that you've paid for, they must give you a refund, not credit. What's your thought on that one?
That's a beautiful thing because JetBlue got me on that. They canceled a flight, and I've been fighting. This been 2020. It's COVID, fighting with them to give me my money. So that's a beautiful thing because they canceled the flight, not me. So that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Give people their money back because, like you said, you tell me, okay, I'm giving you a credit to my flight. You got to use it within a year. But if I don't go nowhere
right.
in a year, then what happens?
Right,
so,
right,
no,
right.
That's beautiful. Give me that money. Give me that cash back.
All righty. I'm with you, Brother Al. I lost $200 to JetBlue because I didn't move when they said I needed to move. So I'm really – and they had it in credit. So I'm glad that you got to give me my refund and I don't have to worry about credit and you robbing me. So I'm definitely with you, Brother Al, definitely with you. All right, gentlemen, we got a little bit of time left. So I want to talk about the fact that, oh, boy – has he's landed in the seat come January, and they have a list of things that he has been very open about what he's going to do when he gets in to the seat. Now, I want to preface this with saying, when we were looking at the election results the other day, they were talking about that Latino men were high, the count was high for the votes for Trump. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. They are voting for Trump, who has openly said what he feels, what he thinks, what he is going to do. So I want you to talk about that in particular, when Trump has said, we will begin the largest deportation operation in American history as soon as I get in the office. I will pull in the National Guard and any active duty military people to do so. Brother Al, and the Latinos voted for Trump. What say you?
Insane. I was so shocked when I heard that. And it sounded like they said, well, we'd rather be with them than against them. And you know, just fear, you know, and not a fear, but I'm looking at it like he just sat there and told you to your face, I'm going to do the largest deportation in American history. So what you going to do when he come and he grab your 90-year-old grandmother, drag her on out to that van, and then then take her out? You know what I'm saying? So I don't get it. So the only thing I can say is just like, hey, we'd rather be with him than against him. Because it don't make any type of sense. No type of sense.
Wow, Brother Al.
That's just like he going to say, you know what? We're putting all black people back in slavery and black people going to vote for him. Did you not hear what he just said?
Mm-hmm.
Are you deaf?
Absolutely.
Even the joke they had. Even the joke. What did he say in the joke? We saw a large thing of garbage out there. Oh, we came close. It was Puerto Rico. Like, did you not hear that comment? That's the only thing I can figure. We'd rather be with them than against them. That's the only thing I can think of.
Wow. Brother Ainsley, and he got the Latino male votes.
Yeah, it's to me, they really fought for a lot of the propaganda, and it's because the whole thing wasn't his whole campaign was built on propaganda and on emotion. It wasn't on facts and whatnot. It's on a propaganda, his emotion, and his impression. Because, you know, I mean, I'm a lot of conservative, a lot of my views, but it definitely wasn't him. And I think a lot of people get caught into what it is that, okay, it's like he gets away with what he's doing. There's nothing too racist for him not to be called a racist. You can say whatever he want to do, and it's not considered racist, but it is, all right? He can say he do what he want to do, and it seems like he's just getting away with it. You got, first of all, I understand how are you a convicted felon, but yet you can still run for the president of the United States. But yet, Junebug can't get a job because, you know,
right,
he did something. Now he can't do that. But you can attain the highest, you know, role employment with a felon, you know. And I think people just get caught up, like, in a nutshell, as Brother Al said, people feel it's better to join them. Better to join it. It's easy, or to get caught up with, like, okay, I'd rather become part of the oppressor, because that seems to be where things are going, and as opposed to just being the victim here. So I can join the oppressor party. I'm part of that. I can get away with whatever that. I'm joining this group right here. But no, I think that's quite what it is, though.
Because not only them, there's other people that I don't understand how you vote against your own best interest. They're not the only
right.
You can vote against your own best interest. So that's, I think it's baffling to me why that is. How could that be? You know, I mean, there's other factors into it, too. I mean, that's the topic. I think a lot of people think, I think a lot of people are just sexist. They really don't really want a woman, much less a black woman, to have that kind of power or that control or venture that, you know. So, no, I think I played a part there, too. But, you know, so they're not the Latin men. I was a little surprised by that, you know, when, you know, you disagree upon, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of garbage in Puerto Rico, and you say stuff like that, but then, you know, but it's okay, you know, but then somebody criticizes you, oh, this was terrible, you know, and even worse, I don't even want to go there, but okay, yeah, that's it.
Okay. Pastor KL, the running president got a lot of Latino male votes, even after he publicly said, we will begin the largest deportation operation in American history. What is that?
All they heard was free trip. Free trip. Going home. Free trip. But you know what? The other side to it is I think, I can't remember what was on, but there was someone who was signing, doing sign language, and then we realized that they didn't know sign language. You know, they kept on saying, they're not even signing right. You know, the deaf people was mad. You know, so they was up there getting a check, doing signing. And all I can think of now is that there was someone who was translating what he was saying, and they didn't know English. And they could have been saying that, you know, he's saying something good, you know, because no one in their right mind, you know, if you call me all these explicits and tell me that I have to get out, there's no way in the world I'm celebrating you. There's no way. You know, Trump, and I've been saying this for the longest, Trump keeps saying, you know, we're going to make America great again. You know, me, in all of my years, I don't ever remember when it was great. So all I can think about in my mind is that you thinking that we're going to make it back to slavery days. Because for you and your people, that's when it was great. So I don't understand how all of us brown people went out and voted for this nonsense. Simply because he threw a couple of carrots in your face. And made the carrot look better than you ever. Hey, I never ate carrots like this before. You know, maybe carrots is really good for my eyes. You know what I mean? But no, you still can't see. You know, and that's where we are, you know, with the Hispanics. Listen, I don't care what he tells you on this side. He has already forewarned you that once I get in, you will be gone. We cannot dine or dwell in the same atmosphere. So why? Is this someone that you want to vote for? You left where you left because it was in a bad place or a bad situation, and he's going to send you back. Makes no sense.
Well, you know, with you guys talking and responding the way you did, I got to ask you a question. You know, I always say, if you want to know what a woman's thinking, talk to a woman. Don't talk to a man, talk to a woman. If you want to know what's going on with men, talk to the men. Don't talk to the women. So I'm talking to three African-American men. I need to know, I need some help with understanding, why would y'all vote for President Trump? Brother Al, I'm coming to you first. Why would an African-American man, what was the appeal? What did he say that, or maybe you voted for him? What was the appeal that an African-American man would vote for President Trump? What's your thought?
Okay. Well, no, I didn't vote for him. If you ever say that again, Pastor Steph, I'll come look for you. But I just want to clear that off the table real quick before we go further. Before we go further, but there was a few reasons I believe men, because I was advocating for people to go out and vote. I didn't tell them who to vote for, but I was advocating that we have to go out and vote. And there were so many men just for saying that I'm not voting for a woman, because if I vote for a woman and a woman get in, the other countries gonna think we weak. Another big thing that I saw that they was people with men were supporting, but there's a lot of people mad about the immigrants coming in. So when Trump kept saying, I'm definitely going to secure the border, I'm going to ship these people out, there were so many people that was with that. Like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because, again, the way they did things, they brought the immigrants in and just started giving them everything. So you look at it like, wow, I've been in this country all my life. I'm struggling. I always wanted a house. This person just coming, you're going to get them $125,000 to get a house, and I've been here all my life. So people were really stuck on that. So there was a lot of guys who was like, yo, you know what? Yeah, I want them out too. Kamala is not talking about getting them out. You know what? Trump's talking about getting them out, and I'm with that. So, yes, I'm voting for them because I want them out too. So that was one of the biggest things that I was hearing.
Okay. So let me ask you, Brother Al, because I know that men had a problem with a woman leading this country. What was your thought when that was the issue that was brought forward?
Well, I was like, I think she would do a great job. You know, looking at her record as being a prosecutor, she stands strong. And I was like, you know what? I think she would do a great job. That was my thing. I was like,
okay.
I think she would do a great job.
Okay. And the issue they raised about, well, you know what? The immigrants are here. He's promising to get rid of the immigrants. So that's why he's going to get my vote. What was your thought in regard to that?
When people said that, when I spoke with some people and they said that, I said, so you agree with one thing that he do. What about everything else? You know, that was one of my thoughts. I was like, what about all the other things this man is saying? He said if he don't win, blood is going to run in the streets. He said if he get in office, all those people that did things, he is going to get them. He's taking away the woman's right to do an abortion if that's what they wanted to do. I said, what about all those things? You telling me one thing that you agree with him with? Because, I mean, and I had men tell me, oh, I don't really like Trump, but you know what, I'm not voting for no woman, and he's going to get these immigrants out. And I'm like, so for you not to like somebody, you're going to vote for him? So I got into some heated discussions with people, but my biggest thing was you agree with one thing he said, and you forget everything else that he's saying. And I asked people, did you look at that Project 2025 where he said he's going to give the cops immunity? Did you think they was killing us before? Now they can kill us and just walk away with nothing. Did you read that? So some of them got quiet. Some of them was like, oh, well, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to vote for him. I was like, wow. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Brother Al. But Brother Ainsley, so your friends, your brothers, your peoples voted for President Trump. Maybe you did, and I'm not asking whether you did or not. But why do you
think?
All
right, Brother Al, don't say that. No, because...
I gotta remain impartial. I can't scare y'all off from talking because I'm sounding like I'm threatening those who voted for President Trump.
I'm making it publicly clear at this point. I did not vote for Trump. I thought about
it,
but I decided, oh heck no. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for clearing that up for us. So why do you think your brothers voted for him?
you know, it's a street thing. A lot of people, they like the gangster lifestyle. They was like, oh, like he's like the playboy, he's the gangster, you know, he get away the way he wants to do. It's like we celebrate people come out of jail more than we see somebody who graduate from college. It's that kind of mentality. So, and it's like, okay, yeah, he's getting away with it. He ain't doing no time, blah, 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 blah. He's a millionaire, billionaire.
Wow.
He's doing his thing, you know. You know how to move behind the scenes, blah, blah, blah. He's not really a politician, so he's not really in that cult, that political cult, but he can maneuver because, you know, he had to deal with them and all like that. And, you know, so he's all right with, you know, he's all right with them and stuff. That's the reason, you know, I know a lot of people I know who did vote for him, some fellas, a couple of people I know.
Mm.
Oh, that's if they said at the time back in the day. Yeah.
Now, what's your feeling about that, about hearing, when you hear that?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, anytime in politicians, you're not going to get somebody who's going to agree with everything you want. You know, even with Harris, you nobody, you know, you're not, it's always going to be something that it's not 100% all down the line. It just can't
right.
be, you just
right.
can't be like, oh, just one particular issue, and that's it. And let me tell you now, here's one detrimental way, the long-lasting way how Trump is going to be affecting people long after he's gone for maybe the next 40 to 50 years. The Supreme Court, there's Clarence Thomas and some other, I forget the other one, they're up in age. They're going to retire, two or three of them are going to retire. So he's going to be able to put in like two or three more judges who are young,
right.
like in their 30s. So
right.
they're going to be, you're going to have like 5 to 6 people on the highest court of America with
right.
that kind of ideology over the country for the next 40 years. So you got to understand what that means, though. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
long after he's gone, we're going to be have to be dealing with this. It's not going to hardly be like, okay, well, maybe it's, you know, split in half, one vote either way and stuff like that. So maybe some kind of common sense be fair. You talk with this kind of ideology being in effect for the next 40 years. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you
yep.
got to think
all
of things like
that.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, right. All for looking at a reason such as he's a gangster. Yeah, he'll be a gangster. Him and all his minions, they are also gangsters. And they are gangsters with some level of power. So, yeah, dope. You just got finished putting that in office. Like Brother Al just got finished saying, you're not friendly with the police when you're brown and black. So, okay. Thank you, Brother Ainsley. Pastor KL, why do you think your brothers voted for President Trump? I don't know if you did or not. I'm not asking you if you did. But why do you think they went that direction?
So, I mean, what is it, three blind mice? You just gonna insult three of us at one time? No, we didn't vote for Trump. Do you just want to hear it? Is that what it is? We didn't vote for the pink man. Okay?
I have to be impartial.
No, we don't. This is your show. You can do what you want to do. You know, we didn't vote for those guys. I'm Trump.
Oh, my goodness.
You almost made me cuss on the air. I'm trying to stay sane now.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for clarifying that for us.
I think Pastor Jeff said it the best when he says, you know, you vote for the best devil. Because, I mean, listen, if I can just be candid, they both bad to me. You know, they both devils. But you vote for the best devil. You know, and the devil we got now makes them feel like they got power. But they just as stupid as the Spanish folks. You know what I mean? You know, just because the music or the beat makes you dance, don't mean the lyrics are right. No one listens to the lyrics. But they caught up in the music, and and the way it makes you move. They are caught up with Trump's music, but no one is listening to the lyrics. The lyrics of the song says that it's not for us. It's not positive for us. But because we dance so well and it makes us shake our booty and tap our feet, then, yeah, we going to do that shuffle. It's time to listen to the lyrics, people.
Wow. Thank you, gentlemen, for shedding some light, whether we agree or disagree. At least we have a little bit of a better understanding as to why the votes went in that direction. Thank you so much for sending us into a thought-provoking weekend, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well. Yeah,
all right. No better, Abe.
See y'all on the other side.
All right, Brother Al. Oh, my goodness gracious. So the question is, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? We don't have a whole lot of choice as to where we go from here because, you know, it's the hand has been dealt to us outside of Christ. That's what I mean. Because we talked the other day, the ladies, you know, we talked the other day and, you know, thank God for Jesus. You know, that there was an option. There is an option. And, you know, Jesus will bring us the peace beyond all understanding. You know, I listened to what the three men said today in regards to, you know, why, you know, men voted in that direction. You know, it amazes me when I hear black men talk about they don't want a woman to run the world, the nation, excuse me. If that was your mama, would you feel the same way? If that was your sister, would you feel the same way? Now, let me make this personal. You have a mother who raised you single-handedly. So she was good enough to raise you. You give her all the praise and all the accolades, but she's not capable of running this nation. Your sister, who's raising three children by herself, you give her the praise, you give her the accolades, and mama raised her, but she's not eligible or equipped to run the nation. How insulting is that? How, I'm not talking about the Caucasian. I'm not talking about the Asian. I'm not talking about the Latino. I'm talking about us. How insulting. We have watched Big Mama run this show. We have watched Big Mama's mama run this show. We have watched your mama run the show. We have watched our sisters. We have watched our daughters run the show. But they are not eligible, equipped to run the nation. How dare you? How dare you? The most insulting thing I could ever hear was when I heard black men say, I'm not voting for a woman. But yet you lay up with a woman. Yeah, I said it just like that. A woman is equipped to take care of your stinking butt when you are down and out, when you ain't got no job, when you are whining and pining and sick. We can take care of you, but we cannot run this nation because you will not put it in our hands. Then you get exactly what you deserve. Exactly. We're good enough for everything else. We can raise your children, but we cannot run a nation. We can run the companies, but we cannot run the nation. How insulting that is to me. I can't speak for anyone else, but as a black woman who has helped on many a black males, it is insulting to hear that you would vote, as Pastor KL said, that Pastor Jeff said, you vote for the best devil. So I'm considered the bigger devil because I'm a black woman. So here's what I say. This ultimately says what you really feel about your mama. This ultimately says what you really feel about your wife. This ultimately expresses what you feel about your daughters and your sisters. Just put their face on that picture and replace her Kamala's picture with her picture. That's what you're saying. Because you're not looking at the capabilities. You're looking at a black woman. That's all you can see. And this is why the nation went into Trump's hands the first go-round, because the white man refused to vote for a white woman. They didn't want a woman running, and they were very vocal and verbal and open and honest about that. But I don't care what they do. I don't care what they do, because I know how hard we work. Where was the big mama, the grandmama, or that mother who got up every day and sacrificed everything for you and your sisters and brothers? Where's that woman? That woman could sit in the White House and run this nation. She can. And I have to tell you, I'm looking at the way y'all run your lives. You can't run no nation for me. I don't have that confidence that you're going to run some nation and I'm going to be able to sleep at night peacefully. So now you've got the white man in the seat, a white man who has said exactly what he means and what he feels and what he thinks about everybody, even his own. If you ain't got money, he don't care nothing about you. It don't matter what your race is, what your nationality is. He doesn't care. He is not a man who loves. See, we forget what things are important that need to go sit in that seat. We forget the components that's needed to effectively run a nation. And just like Pastor KL said, I agree 100%. We are never, or maybe Brother Ainsley said it, we're never going to get someone who we can go straight down the line and say, I love everything they say. When I looked at the presidential debate, I kept saying, well, she ain't answering a whole lot more questions than he is. She kept deviating over to, so I wasn't all excited about her, but when I weighed it out, like the men have said, when you weigh it out, what's going to be the best? And the color of your skin and your gender is not the factor that I'm going after. I would love to see a woman run this nation. However, if she's not equipped, Stephanie's not voting for her. I'm not voting for her just because she's a woman. I'm voting because that's the better candidate that has my best interest at heart. And that's what was said earlier. Who cares about you and your concerns more or most? That's where we go. And that's why I said this world is a fickle world. If you look good today, if you sound good today, that's who they're going with. But the moment you don't do what they want to do, oh, they hate you. They don't want you no more. And boy, did they do the wrong thing by putting him in that chair because she was a black woman. What a bad decision. I started off with the Latinos. How do you possibly hear somebody say, I hate you so much that the moment I get in this seat, I don't care about your credentials. I don't care about what your cares and concerns are. I don't care how bad your country is. I don't care whether you made it over here safely or not. You are going back, and I'm going to put you in the position to be able to send me back. I would love to speak to a Latino man and find out, ask the same question. What were you thinking when you voted? How did you think you and your people were going to benefit? Because, see, what they tend to forget, you're not just voting for you. You're voting for everybody. Every single person you're voting for. So you're voting for your daughter, who cannot vote because she's too young. You're voting for your son who can't vote because he's too young. You're voting for your mother because she is over here illegally. She slid through the cracks and she's here. Your father or your grandmama who slid through the cracks, and guess what? He's going to be digging and digging and digging until he gets what he wants. So that's what you've just done. You've just empowered him to be able to do that. What were you thinking? And just like I said the other day, yeah, I thought about that. Hey, you know, all these men who don't act responsibly and she comes up pregnant, I guess you'll be checking that box for child support. Because she can't have an abortion in some states. So whether both of you wanted it or not, guess what? You stuck now, brother. Because that's the way they look at it. And think about what we've read over the past couple of years. How the man fed the baby the acid because he just didn't want the baby. How many men have killed the women or attempted murder because they just didn't want to be fathers and they didn't want to pay the child support. And you would put somebody in office who is banning abortion. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that they should kill off the children. However, it's pro-choice. And after you done made this slip up or however, and you decide, oh, you know what, I ain't a good mother or I ain't a good father, at least there's an option for you. Now, that's between you and God, whether you should really be on that table or not. That's not for me. However, you've just canceled even that option. But again, one thing I have to say in all of this, God is not unmindful of any of this stuff here. Not one iota. He understands everything that's going on. And we are going to eat every decision we have made and every decision we will make. And this here, him ending up in the presidential seat, we are eating some decisions. And it ain't got nothing to do with Tuesday's vote. It has nothing to do with Tuesday's vote. Because if we were in such a wicked world, God would possibly put things in another direction. But because we said we don't want God, he says, okay, I'll give you Saul. Go ahead, I'll give you Barabbas. Whichever one you want to choose, whichever way you want to look at it, these are your options. So for those of us who are looking at the state of the world, and there's no other reason why, you know you need to go to the Lord. If this is the reason, then come on. I ain't mad at you, because we all had a reason. Come on, come on, and come on over. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the men, for taking us into a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us all week. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until Sunday, God spares, where we're in the Word Project prayer room. Come on in the room and see what we're praying about. Until then, God spares. I love you.